Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Lord of Life. I'm Pastor Joel, and it is my delight to welcome you to worship today, whether you're here in the sanctuary or worshiping online. And I want to offer a special word of welcome to anyone who is a guest here today. Your presence is so great. Just a few things. We continue hearing the story this year. We're discovering our story over these months and using a resource called The Story. So that's a condensed chronological Bible, if you'd like. There are copies just down at our church store, which is next to the office, also available online, just $7 each chapter. You'll get tracked along with what we're doing in worship and our small groups and Bible studies as well. As part of our intentional journey through the entire Bible, we're also highlighting this month the fact that there are people around the world who do not have the Bible available in their heart language. And so here's just kind of an intro video to explain what we're doing this month.
We've become accustomed to a world where all our needs are met, where nearly everything we could ever want is literally at our fingertips. Food, water, shelter, clothing. We take some things for granted. For us, they've always been there. But what if we didn't have these things? How would it affect our daily lives? It's the same with the Bible. It's our guiding light, showing us the only way to live in a right relationship with God. But what if it wasn't there? What would our lives be like without the Bible? For millions of people in the world, this is still their daily reality. There's not a single word of scripture translated into a language they can clearly understand. That's why Wycliffe exists. At this moment, all around the world, we're working with local churches and communities to speed the light of truth to people still waiting. Because when people get the Bible in their language, they can know the life-giving truth of the good news. They can fully grasp who God is and what Jesus has done for them. They can experience the hope and transformation of God's Word. It's a movement of global proportions, and we won't stop until every person on the planet can access the Bible in a language and format they can clearly understand.
And so the Plateau Teke people from the Republic of Congo are one of the groups that do not have access to the Bible in their heart language. So we're working with Wycliffe to have books, beginning with books of the New Testament, translated for them. So we're working first on the Gospel of Matthew. And so as you've, if you're here on site, you probably walked past some A-frame stands on your way into the sanctuary, and you'll see every verse from the Gospel of Matthew printed out with a blank next to them, and you are invited to adopt a verse. So for $35, you adopt a verse or adopt multiple verses of the Gospel of Matthew. You can give a check here or give online at lordoflife.org/verse. And our goal then is to fill all those blanks for the Gospel of Matthew. So then that will help provide God's Word, at least that part of God's Word, to these folks in their heart language as we get to know them over the coming months and years as well. So thanks in advance for your contributions and for making that happen. A few other things going on today. Members of our community garden have a little farmer's market going on in the narthex. That's the gathering space outside of the sanctuary. So if you'd like to peruse some fresh produce and give a free will offering, all of those offerings will go to a couple of our ministry partners, Cross and Gethsemane Lutheran Church, with their food programs. Several things coming up later this month. Our Trunk or Treat event is coming on October 23rd. 3 through 5 p.m. is the event, but we're looking for folks who would be willing to decorate their trunks and give out candy during that time, and we're also looking for donations of candy as well. Donations can be dropped off at the church office. If you'd like to contribute a trunk, you can sign up at lordoflife.org. Last year it was a blast, and it'll be a blast this year as well. Earlier that day, October 23rd, we'll be doing our highway cleanup along County Road 101. So if you are willing to help out with that important effort, you can sign up at lordoflife.org. The deadline is approaching quickly for our family retreat to the Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. It's November 4th through 6th. Everyone's invited. Pastor Caitlin and her family will be there. I'll be there. And we invite you to join us for what will be a really fun weekend in the Wisconsin Dells. Also coming up later this month is our Cross Tie Blankets event. So these are tie blankets that we make and donate to Cross to give out to those in need. And so we're collecting fleece material through the 23rd, and then there'll be the event to make the blankets on the 24th. Again, lordoflife.org is where you can go to learn more. Both about those things and things like Connect Life coming up this week, our new divorce care support group for women, and so much more. A few words of thanks. We already heard the bells today, so thanks to Bel Canto and David Frank for directing them and for leading us on the piano. Thanks to the Canticle Choir for your gift of music and Derek Craig's direction. Thanks to Pastor Peter for bringing a good word, Pastor Caitlin for leading worship. Thanks to everyone who's serving behind the scenes. Thank you for making this worship experience a part of your weekend, and thanks be to God for the gift of today. So let's stand together and let's sing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Pray to the Lord.
this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise. Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. God of hope, you are making all things new as you proclaim, "Let my people go." Move us to follow you to freedom rather than being stuck in a life that is less than what you offer. Open our eyes to see those otherwise overlooked, expanding the connections we make and deepening the relationships we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I invite you to be seated. We'd like to invite Brinley and her parents and godparents to come on up as we get to celebrate her baptism today. Brinley, you are bright-eyed. You have been smiling all morning, and this water may not be as warm as you like for your bath, but it's going to be good. So as we celebrate Brinley's baptism, we remember that God, who is rich in mercy and love, gives us a new birth into a living hope through the sacrament of baptism. By water and the word, God delivers us from sin and death and raises us to new life in Jesus Christ. We are united with all the baptized in the one body of Christ, anointed with the gift of the Holy Spirit, and joined in God's mission for the life of the world. And so a question for the four of you up here. In Christian love, you have presented Brinley for holy baptism. You should therefore faithfully bring her to the services of God's house, teach her the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, and the Ten Commandments. As she grows in years, you should place in her hands the Holy Scriptures and provide for her instruction in the Christian faith, that living in the covenant of her baptism and in communion with the church, she may lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. And so do you promise to fulfill these obligations? If so, please say, "We do." All right, those are some pretty mighty promises you're making. You're not alone. Because the people of God are here to support you, not just these people here, not even just Lord of Life, but the entire people of God throughout time and space are here to be with you, to support you, to help you live out those important promises that you have made to Brinley. So, a question for you, people of God. I invite you to stand as you are able. My question to you, to all of us, is this. People of God, do you promise to support Brinley and pray for her in her new life in Christ? If so, please say, we do. We do. We got your back, Brinley. And so together we will confess our Christian faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I invite the congregation to be seated. I have three questions for you up here. Your response is, we do. So first, do you renounce all the forces of evil, the devil, and his empty promises?
We do.
Do you believe in the Christian faith as we have just confessed it in the Apostles' Creed?
We do.
And do you desire that Brinley be baptized into this faith?
We do.
You aced it. You aced it. So what we're going to do is we'll have are you going to hold her over there, Mike?
I can.
All right. And so let's have Mom, if you want to take the bow off her head, and if the godparents want to come on in here too. And it's Brinley Louise, right?
That's right.
Beautiful. All right. Our 6.5-month-old Brinley here. So Brinley, if you want to hold her right over the water, Brinley Louise, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And Brinley Louise, child of God, you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. All right. Great job, honey. All right. If you want to hold her back up, give her your cloth there. All right. You did so great. What just happened? What just happened? It's all good. This is so good. So we are going to pray a prayer of blessing for Brinley. So maybe if the godparents want to come around, and there's not a lot of Brinley to go around, but if you want to put a hand on her, and we're going to pray for Brinley here. We give you thanks, O God, that through water and the Holy Spirit you give your daughters and sons new birth, cleanse them from sin, and raise them to eternal life. Sustain Brinley with the gift of your Holy Spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and reverence of the Lord, the spirit of joy in your presence both now and forever. Amen. Oh, yeah, you knew we were praying for you. You knew it. And so now we're going to light your baptismal candle. So what we have, whenever we see a lit candle, not just Brinley, not just our baptismal candle, but any lit candle in a worship space or anywhere, we can be reminded of these promises that God has made to each and every one of us. This promise of an eternal saving relationship, a promise of a meaningful, purposeful life, that we were created for a reason by a loving God. And then part of this baptism is a calling that Jesus has for you to join us together, Brinley. We are really thinking about this. And here is Jesus' message to you, Jesus calling for you. Brinley, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to God in heaven. That's right, Dad. I'm going to do that. I'm all about it. So we'll have you hold that candle. And Ashley and Mike, you, as you know, are not alone. You know that this is one of the greatest gifts you've ever been given, and we get to share it with you. And so,
thank you.
We are going to pray for you. So let's pray. Oh God, the giver of all life, look with kindness upon Ashley and Mike. Let them ever rejoice in the gift you've given them. Make them teachers and examples of righteousness for Brinley. Strengthen them in their own baptism so they may share eternally with Brinley the salvation you have given them. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And so we get to welcome the newest member of the body of Christ, Brinley Louise. Yes! If you want to blow up the camera.
Today's first reading is Psalm 29. We will read it responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of glory, the God of glory, thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. And Syrian like a... The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all say, glory. May the Lord give strength to his people.
Just want to make sure, are you guys done? Sorry. Second reading today is from the third chapter of Exodus. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the wilderness has now come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppress them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they said to Moses, and they asked me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, thus you shall say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and this is my title for all generations. The word of the Lord. All right, for the last 3 weeks, our journey through this book, the story, has walked us through the book of Genesis. Today, in the fourth chapter of the story, we begin the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus. Now, a lot has changed since last week when Pastor Joel left us at the end of Genesis. There were 75 members of Joseph's family living very comfortably in Egypt. But now there's a new Pharaoh in town who has relegated all the descendants of Abraham to a brutal life of slavery. But despite their life of cruel servitude, their numbers have grown exponentially, just as God promised he would do. Today we meet the towering Old Testament figure of Moses. Moses has escaped Egypt and is living as a shepherd in the land of Midian, taking a break from chasing down wayward sheep. He notices a bush that's on fire that doesn't seem to be burning up. As Moses approaches, God says, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Moses hid his face because to look directly at God in all God's power was considered a deadly proposition. We have a Hallmark greeting card idea of God. For us, holy means sweet and nice. But in biblical times, people believed that if you looked at God, you would die because of God's transcendent power. And I refer you here to the climactic scenes of Raiders of the Lost Ark for visual proof. So, Moses must have been more than a little bit intimidated when he stood in front of a burning bush in the presence of God. And then God gave Moses a seemingly impossible task. "So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." Moses had his eyes closed, but he must have been shaking his head. "Yeah, right. The most powerful man in the world is just going to let me gather up his workforce, pull up the buses, and leave." That's like saying to Jeff Bezos, "You know all those people you've got delivering packages? Yeah, they're coming with me." Well, Moses knew that Pharaoh wasn't going to give up the Israelite people without a fight. So hearing God's command, Moses starts to make some excuses. "You know, God, I wish I could do that, but I'm getting a haircut from Aaron Rodgers' barber on Tuesday. I really don't want to miss that." And then this: "If I come to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your ancestors has sent me to you,' and they ask me, 'What is God's name?' What shall I say to them?" Now, the significance of God making his name known was that in the Middle East, when a person gave you their name, they were giving you power over them. So Moses was thinking, If I'm going to do this, God, I'm going to need to know your name. And God said to Moses, "I am who I am." Now, literally, the name in Hebrew is Yahweh. But what it means is, "I am who I am." The name is considered so holy, so powerful, that it is always capitalized in our Bibles. And many Jews are careful to not even say the name out loud, such as its power. And when they write it, they only use the first letter, a Y, and then a dash. Such was the power of the name of God. "But I am who I am," that seems a little cryptic, doesn't it? "I am who I am" reminds me of something the beloved baseball player Yogi Berra might have said. It sounds a lot like Yogi's, "It ain't over till it's over." Actually, it sounds like a lot of Yogi's thoughts. "When you come to a fork in the road, take it. You observe a lot just by watching. It gets late early out here. It was impossible to get a conversation going. Everybody was talking too much." Now, the funny thing about these yogiisms is that although they sound odd, they end up making sense, and almost always there's a truth in there somewhere. And when the church was packed to the rafters at Yogi's funeral in 2017, it recalled his saying, "Always go to other people's funerals, otherwise they won't come to yours." Now, when we examine "I am who I am," it kind of makes sense, too. God is not saying, "I am who you want me to be." You know, we spend a lot of time constructing gods who think a lot like us, right? We want a God who meets our needs, a God who likes who we like, hates who we hate, and votes for who we vote for. But those are false gods. God says to Moses, and God says to each of us, pay attention. I am not who you want me to be. I am who I am. And this is who God is. A God who keeps promises. Even amidst slavery, God is building a great nation of the Israelites, just as he promised. And now God reveals his plan to keep his second promise and deliver the Israelites from slavery and get them on the road to the promised land of milk and honey. And God's plan is this, to invoke a series of plagues to convince the Pharaoh that he should let the Israelites go. And these are not pretty things. Here's a list of them. The water turned to blood, frogs everywhere, gnats everywhere, flies everywhere, disease, boils, hail, locusts, darkness. Turn to someone sitting next to you and say what you think is the worst of the plagues. Got 30 seconds. Okay, they're all bad. Although biting flies would be the worst for me, I think. Invoking these plagues, God's revealing something about himself, that he has absolute control and power over everything. Before this time in history, people believed that there was a separate God for each thing, a God for the weather, a God for light, a God for darkness, a God of the Nile, a Lord of the flies. What this is polytheism. There were many, many, many gods, each doing their own thing. But now, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has a power beyond all power. God can control everything. And now we move into a monotheistic worldview. There is one God, and that God's name is Yahweh. And when Pharaoh doesn't budge after these nine plagues, there is a tenth plague from Yahweh. And the angel of death kills the firstborn male in every Egyptian home while passing over the Israelite homes. And now all of Egypt wants the Israelites to leave. And even when Pharaoh changes his mind, the God of all power parts the Red Sea so that the Israelites can walk on dry land. And when they're through to the other side, the water returns and the Egyptian army is swallowed up and dies. The Exodus is the greatest event in the Old Testament. And it defined the Israelites as a people. But here I have to interject. This God is pretty scary. Those plagues are terrible. This is not how I would have handled it. And God says, I'm not who you want me to be. I am who I am. Your pastors stand up here each week and we appear pretty confident about what we are saying. But sometimes God is a mystery. Sometimes God is different than we would expect. And actually, Yogi Berra was different than most people expected to. He was viewed as a bit of a buffoon. But at dawn on D-Day, June 6, 1944, 19-year-old Navy enlistee Yogi was in the water off Omaha Beach. He'd volunteered to be on those boats that were sitting ducks, lobbing rockets toward enemy lines. Dead bodies floated all around him, and he was wounded that day. It earned him a Purple Heart, though not to worry his mother. He never applied for it. Yogi came home after the war, and he won 10 World Series rings, more than any other player in baseball history. He won 3 MVP awards. He played catcher, the toughest position on the field, but he was only 5 feet 7 inches tall. Phil Rizzuto was the shortstop on those great Yankee teams. And when Rizzuto became ill toward the end of his life, he was put in an assisted living facility, which was about 30 minutes away from where Yogi lived. And every single day, because teammates were important to him, Yogi would drive there and he would play cards with Phil. And when Rizzuto would start to get drowsy, Yogi would hold his hand until Phil went to sleep. And then Yogi would leave every day. That's what teammates meant to him. But no one ever heard about it because, as Yogi said, it's not the heat, it's the humility. There was a lot more to Yogi Berra than people thought. And so it is with God. God told Moses, "I am who I am." And when we come to the New Testament, we get even more surprises. Listen to these words, the words of Jesus. "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus says, "I am," a shortened version of the name God used in the burning bush. And it turns out that Jesus is much more than just an itinerant rabbi with some nice ideas. Jesus is the great I am. The name above all names. He is God with a capital G. He's the creator of the universe, a being of infinite power, but now he's also a flesh and blood human being, the source of love, who willingly gives it all up and dies a sacrificial death on the cross. Now, if I had all that power, that's not how I would have handled it. And God says, "I'm not who you want me to be. I am who I am." And we are so fortunate that he is. When we read through the Bible as we're doing this year, we'll experience story after story of God's extraordinary power and infinite love for his people. It's going to be like deja vu all over again. And next week in chapter 5 of the story, we'll learn about the 10 rules that provide direction for our lives. Pretty important, because if you don't know where you're going, you might end up someplace else. And remember that it ain't over till it's over, and in God's world, it's never over. At first glance, the name Yahweh may sound odd, but my friends, don't pigeonhole God into your way of thinking. God, in fact, is a mystery. But that's okay, because you can observe a lot just by watching. So watch God closely. Watch our God, who is aptly named, I am who I am. Thank you.
Please stand as you are able. In gratitude and humility, let us join together in prayer on behalf of God's creation. Gracious God, as you delivered the Israelites from Egypt, deliver us from sin, death, and all that separates us from your love. Help us to trust in the humble power of the one who is the name above all names. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks for land and water, seed time and harvest. Break down boundaries we construct between ourselves and the rest of your creation. Bring renewal and restoration to places affected by pollution, deforestation, and turbulent storms. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Mighty God, we give you thanks for those in our community, nation, and world who work for justice and peace. Uplift all who hold positions of power to act on behalf of those marginalized by race, ethnicity, or religion. Equip each of us in our own unique ways to be reminded that we are created in your image and can use our voice and can make your presence of peace known. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We give you thanks that you hear the cries of those in need. Restore to community those who are stigmatized by illness, feeling rejected, or who live in isolation. Send healing to all who suffer, especially Mitchell Sides, Steve Hansen, and Gary Nelson. Comfort all who are grieving this day, including the family and friends of Dolores Fleming at her death and Todd Sparks at the death of his grandfather. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Faithful one, we give you thanks for all who work toward healing. Equip those who visit, care, and pray for the sick. Give insight to doctors, nurses, home health aides, and all practitioners of medical arts. Encourage us also to heal the divisions in our families and our communities so that we may celebrate the promises made in baptism. We give thanks for those baptized this weekend. Brinley, Thomas, Owen, Lane, Joshua, Zachary, and Clara. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. With grateful hearts, we commend our spoken and silent prayers to you, O God, through Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share a sign of peace with one another. And you may be seated. As we receive the offering today, I'd like to tell you about one of the ways that your giving impacts our ministry, childcare. Lord of Life's childcare team is made up of paid, screened, and trained staff who care for your kids and share age-appropriate faith lessons with them during worship. When you give to Lord of Life, your gifts allow us to equip our childcare team with the training they need to make sure that your kids are safe, cared for, and loved. Thank you so much. Giving can be done in any of the ways listed on the screen, including the passing of the plates that will happen in just a moment. If online or text to give makes sense for you and your family, please feel free to pull out your phone as an act of worship. Again, thank you so much for your generosity.
He's the Lord of the
Please stand as you are able. As you go into your week, may God give you courage to walk in the paths of peace, patience to outlast the troubles of the day, joy that radiates from the inside out, and love that erases barriers and heals wounds. May God go with you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Children of God, loved beyond measure, sent to serve the world.